When God gave the Ten Commandments to Moses on Mount Sinai, one thing's for sure, he was not making the Ten Suggestions. All too often, we take the Bible's teachings as optional. We pick and choose which principles to obey and which to disregard. In the midst of this, God is not passively standing by. Our nation and any nation that flaunts its disobedience will face his righteous judgment. Stay with us. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Once again, Erwin Lutzer is asking, is God on America's side? Today, he brings five mandates on how we as Christians are to live in a crumbling culture.
I don't come before this congregation to preach some new ideas, some new suggestions that I would like to pass on to you. I have come today with five mandates as to what we should be doing in the midst of our moral, spiritual, and political conflict and problems here in America. Are you ready for the five? Praise God. Praise God. Are you ready there, brother? You're already dressed in your 4th of July suit, so you should be ready. All right? But before I do that, I need to answer specifically this question. Is God on America's side? My friend, it is dangerous for any country to say God is on our side. That kind of nationalism has created havoc. Because of my interest in Nazi Germany, a friend of mine gave me a belt buckle that was used by a Nazi soldier, and emblazoned on it is the cross, because the Nazis thought God is on our side. We know what happens when you say God is on our side. Abraham Lincoln's wisdom is for us today. The wisdom is simply this, that the issue is not whether or not God is on our side, but rather, are we on his side? That's the issue. And those are the mandates that I'm going to give you in a moment. Let me put it this way. America has no special claim on God, but I believe that God has a special claim on America. We have been blessed like no other country has ever been blessed. And we have a great responsibility because unto whom much is given, much is required. And so the only question that we should be asking is this question. How do we line up with what God wants? How do we get on God's side? And I'm going to tell you how in just a moment. In Europe, where we were 3 weeks ago in Rome, we went to church 3 weeks ago in Rome, a little church service that I'd love to take time to tell you about, but you know, we're always busy, aren't we? But while we were in Rome, we visited the Roman Forum, and you walk past the Roman Senate, and the guide says, now, that's the Senate. The building has been rebuilt, but that's where Nero would have met with his officers and all of the other great leaders of Rome. Then you walk 200 or 300 yards, and you come to the Mamertine Prison. I'd been there before, but it struck me this time like it's never done previously. What is that prison? Almost certainly the one in which the Apostle Paul was imprisoned. Almost certainly. The Mamertine Prison dates back to the year 300 BC, and prisoners were always put there. You go in, and there's a cave, and on the wall of the cave are the list of all of the Christians who were killed right there in that cave. That's not, though, where Paul stayed. Paul would have stayed in the dungeon below the cave. You can get there today by stairs. In those days, it was just a hole that you were dumped into. Now, think about this. Here is the Apostle Paul in prison in Rome. Nero is ruling. He is not a friend of Christians, if you know anything about history. There's nobody in the Roman Senate who's going to represent Christian interests. Politically, there's absolutely no hope that there would be anything that would come about. And now Paul is there, and what does he tell the church to do? Those are our mandates. I'm speaking candidly today. We as Americans are going to have to get used to the idea that we might not always have a president and a Congress that is favorable to the Christian faith. We need to accept that. There are people in Washington, and you know this as well as I do, though I've talked to some people who work with the government and actually Christians who represent us there, who will tell you that there are many people in Washington who believe that we're the enemy and we need to be silenced. That's the way in which they view us. So what are the mandates? Are you ready for five of them? With God's help, as I was going over this morning, it dawned on me, each one of these is worthy of a sermon. Today, you just get the summary, and the sermons might come at another time. Book of Philippians. Philippians, written by the Apostle Paul, sitting there in prison. No political clout whatever. No hope that Nero and his associates are going to acknowledge Christians. They were lopping their heads off. They were throwing them to lions, taking them to the Circus Maximus, and allowing them to die. Paul says this, verse 27 of Philippians chapter 1. Only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear that you are standing firm in one spirit with one mind, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel. Mandate number one, we must choose the right battle. We must choose the right battle. Let me ask you today, what is America's big problem? Is it political? Is it moral? Is it social? Is it even racial? And the answer is no, because ultimately, back of all that, it is a spiritual problem, the cure for which is the gospel. And we are losing the gospel in our churches today. Paul says, I want you to strive together. The Greek word is used, and it has the idea of an athlete, athletes, plural, playing a game where we come together. I love this translation. It says, striving side by side for the gospel. In our churches today, we've lost the gospel. Let me give you two examples. First of all, we have politicized the gospel, where you have pastors who endorse political candidates. We here at the Moody Church don't do that. That's my conviction. It's also the conviction of our leadership and of our elders. Because you see, if I begin to endorse a political candidate, I lose my independence. As a minister of the gospel, I need to be able to say to Republicans and Democrats and independents that if you don't believe on Jesus, you're going to be lost forever. But if I endorse a political candidate, I cut off the other party. In a book I wrote entitled, Is God on America's Side? I quote there from a manifesto which says that the church has become useful idiots for one political party or another. And you look at what has happened on television. And look how bad we look by endorsing this candidate or that candidate and then having to withdraw this endorsement or that endorsement. Hey, we can be involved politically. I hope that Christians run for office. I hope that Christians vote. I trust and pray that Christians pray, join various organizations that are pro-life. If we have a vote and referendum regarding gay marriages, let's be involved in that and stand against these trends in our culture. Let's do all of that. But as a church, we maintain our independence so that we can say to both parties and to everyone, we have a message that transcends politics. We stand for the gospel of Jesus Christ. We've politicized the gospel in an unhealthy way. We've also hidden the gospel. I tell the story of a Muslim couple that came to saving faith in Christ through great personal cost. They went to a church in the South, I won't tell you which state, and the minister was preaching a sermon on nutrition. I believe that nutrition is important. My wife believes it's important. Looking at some of you, I think it should be more important in your life than it is. But as long as you come to the Moody Church, you will never, never hear a sermon on nutrition. You'll hear a sermon on the gospel of Jesus Christ that's able to change people. The first mandate, number one, We must know the right battle. It is always a battle for the gospel, which is being lost in evangelical churches. I've given a one-hour lecture on that in a different context, but we must hurry on. Mandate number two, we must pay the right price. Now, your text is open, isn't it? Everybody's looking at their Bible. It says, and if the person next to you doesn't have one, share yours with them and lead them to Jesus Christ later. It says in verse 28, and not frightened in anything by your opponents. Now, that's a verse for us today. This is a clear sign to them of their destruction, but of your salvation, and that from God. What is the right price? Verse 29, for it has been granted to you for the sake of Christ Jesus, that you should not only believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake. Wow! It has been granted to you. Bonhoeffer, whom I have studied, and by the way, one of the reasons I love to lead tours to Europe is to help people to understand the price that has been paid for the gospel. Bonhoeffer says, we will never suffer well unless we see suffering as a gift. It has been given to you. It is a sign of divine favor. Dark days are coming to the United States of America, this great country that we love. I can tell you that. Did you know that the amendment regarding hate speech lost simply because of two senators, and it lost on a technicality? Hate speech would try to shut us down regarding our convictions regarding marriage, for example. Perhaps I've told you in the past about Mark Harding in Canada, who objected to the Quran being given out to high school students, arguing that at least if you're going to do that, you should give out Bibles too. And he was convicted of hate speech under the Canadian law. When he went to trial, he had already received 3,000 emails and telephone calls, mostly death threats, and he needed police protection because he was being shouted at, go to hell, infidel, and all those other things, and ended up having to do 300 hours of community service in a Muslim center. That's what hate speech is intended to do. The intention is to shut down the preaching of the gospel and the fullness of what God has revealed. Yes, my friend, that's the direction we are headed here in the United States of America. Hate speech. I marvel at how wise these legislators are. Of course we're opposed to hate speech. As Christians, we should be the last ones to endorse hate speech. But of course, behind that phrase, there is an entirely different meaning, namely that if you are critical, if you read the Bible, if you preach what the Bible has to say about homosexuality, or if you are critical of some other religion, particularly Islam, no matter how rational, no matter how kindly it may be presented, that is hate speech. Please listen to the news. Because I believe that in the months that lie ahead, we're going to be hearing about hate speech. And we're going to be hearing about such things as the Fairness Doctrine, intending to shut down even Christian radio. Don't want to scare you. Simply want you to be alert to what is happening in our world and be faithful to Christ, no matter the cost. And it will cost in the future.
Thank you, Pastor Lutzer. Erwin Lutzer is continuing his series asking, Is God on America's Side? Monday, more on the five mandates for Christians as judgment approaches. Running to Win comes to you from the Moody Church in Chicago. Is God on America's side? This question's now more crucial than ever. Dr. Lutzer has written a book by this title, a book we'll send as our thank you when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Ask for Is God on America's side when you call 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw, all one word, .com. Or write to Running to Win at Box 11174, Chicago, Illinois, 60611. This is Dave McAllister. Join us for the Monday edition of Running to Win.